So something has to change, and it can change, but it's going to take some effort. It's not an easy thing to look inside yourself and to be constantly aware of where you're at with this weakness or with this strength and where you're going.
And just remember that you can't expect your spouse to change unless you change. You have to be the one who wants to change first. You can't be like, hey, you're doing this wrong. I want you to change. And because of that, I'll change too. You have to be like, hey, I'm going to change this because of this. And if you say that to your spouse, most of the time they'll say, you know what? I'm going to try to change this, because it's respect. They're respecting that you're trying to change, and it makes them feel, okay, you know what? He's doing something good. What can I do now? At least that's how I felt. All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode today of the Benj and Sailor Show. Today we're excited because it's just Sailor and I.
Yep.
Yep. These are our favorite ones. And why is that?
Because I get to stare at you the whole time.
I thought you were actually going to say it. These aren't my favorite ones.
Oh, no. I actually do. I like just talking about our thoughts sometimes and sharing our insights
together. I agree. So, I agree with you.
That's what we'll be doing today. We want to talk about what the past three months has looked like for our life. For those of you who don't know, Benj quit his job in January and left that field, and we've started this new adventure.
Yeah, so we started then. I quit my job, and ever since then, every single day, we've been working together.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it's been.
I thought Sailor wasn't such a bee, but she is. That's basically what you just said.
No, that's not what I said. I take responsibility for being difficult as well.
Thank you.
So when I'm difficult, I know it makes it harder for you, which then makes you frustrated. Either way, I think we've grown more in these last 3 months than almost any time of our life.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say together, for sure. It's definitely been difficult. When you start a new challenge, your learning curve is like this, right? So it's a lot different from where we were a year ago. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hop right into it. Benj, why don't you kind of explain what your day-to-day life looks like for you specifically?
A day in the life of Benj Compass looks like this. I wake up in the morning, usually around 5 to 5:30, mostly usually 5:30, maybe sometimes 6.
I don't know. I don't wake up that early.
And I get up, and I've been running a lot recently, so I usually get up and I go running. I'll get up, I'll run for a little bit, I'll come back. I'll usually try to be home by 7:15, 7:30, get home, shower, get ready for the day. We'll eat breakfast together as a family, wake up Emerald.
No, we don't wake her up. She wakes up.
She wakes up.
I am not waking up that monster. Just kidding, I shouldn't say that. I'm not waking her up. That's like the number one rule in parenting. Don't wake the kid up. Let them sleep, right? Anyway, we wait for Emerald to wake up.
And then we eat breakfast together in the morning. Usually we buy between the time of 8 to 8:15 to 8:30 sometimes. Then I'll come into my office, do my daily planning, go through my day, book everything, and then I'll get right into studying. Just like serving a mission, I like to do personal study first thing in the morning. So right as soon as I get into the office, I do personal study.
So what is that? What do you mean by personal
study? So I'll read my scriptures.
Okay.
I'll read my scriptures.
Study the gospel, etc.
For the first 30 minutes of my day. And then I'll do journal writing, hop into more studies, and then I have calls that come along. So It's just typical work. Yeah, it's just business. I just get to work on whatever I need to get done that day. Like today I was studying, you know, different kinds of marketing and kind of figuring out what we're wanting to do to market this upcoming product that we'll be launching.
Why don't you show everyone what you have in your hand? Because it's definitely been in the camera.
This is my fidget toy. I'm a hardcore fidgeter.
Yeah, you're like always fidgeting with something in your hands.
I can focus more when I'm doing this, believe it or not. But if I don't have this, I tend to move my chair or shake my feet or stuff like that. But that's a day like mine. And then usually I'm done around 5. And then at 5 from 6, I'll take over Emerald and watch her for that hour. That gives you the time to do what you want to do.
And I get an hour of alone time every day, which has been nice.
And then we'll put Emerald to bed around 7:30, and then we'll hang out.
We'll hang out. That's it.
Well, we like to spend time together every night. Hang out, do a daily review. Sometimes we'll work.
Watch TV. Sometimes we relax. Just depends. Sometimes we talk and go to sleep. Yeah, but that's specifically our time without Emerald.
So what does a day look like in the life of Sailor Compass?
I would like to wake up earlier. I don't. That's like, if there's one flaw that Sailor Compass has that has been well known ever since birth, is I love sleeping. I love it. Like, I can sleep until 12 if I really wanted to, but I have a kid, so
that is.
I just don't understand how you could do that. I just don't get it.
I just I don't know.
Noon. You could sleep until noon.
I could. I could lay there and I could just force myself to go back to bed. It just happens. Anyway, all right, back on track. I wake up usually around 7. Would like to wake up earlier. Wake up at 7. I get ready, read my scriptures right away because I never know when Emerald is going to wake up. I don't know if she's going to wake up earlier or later. And usually I like to have that quiet time reading my scriptures or studying something. So I do that. And then after that I do things around the house, get ready for the day, and I just wait for Emerald to wake up. Feed her, take care of her. So I work out, come home, make lunch, play with Emerald. Then eventually, you know, she'll fall asleep. I'll get like an hour and a half right now to work on anything that I need to. I mean, in between that whole, throughout the whole entire day, I usually like help you with something. I'm usually on calls or scheduling something for you, or I work on something when I can here and there. But honestly, like my main responsibility is my main focus right now is I want to be the best mom that I can be, as well as when I do have time, I want to be accomplishing something else that's helping me to grow on a different level.
And what would be an example of that?
An example of that is sometimes I help like write the captions, write descriptions for any of the videos and any of the platforms that we're posting on.
You'll make shorts.
Yeah, I'll make shorts. I'll approve like designs that I like. I'm more of like the aesthetic approval prover. I'm more of the, I take on more of the aesthetic.
Yeah, you approve the looks.
Yes.
You make it look good.
Yes.
And I do it.
Gets it done. So honestly, but I wouldn't say I have one thing that I like do. I would say I just do whatever I need to help you that day.
Yeah. Which I think is great. And that's kind of how it is for me too. Like I don't have a set thing that I do every day.
Well, you're supposed to take care of everything else that I don't get done. And that we need to for our business, basically. You're in charge of everything. You're in charge of everything, really.
And every day is a different thing. And I'd say the hardest part right now, I don't know if you feel this too, is in what we're trying to accomplish, there's not a course we can buy. So I'm literally just trying to figure out on a daily basis what I can do. Like when I sit down and do my daily planning, I'll look at my day and I'm like, what am I going to do today to make an effective day? I mean, I have stuff planned throughout my day, but there's so many little things in that planning that if I choose to do something, it would be more effective than doing something else. But that something else I also need to do. So it's like opportunity cost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But one thing that we've done together that I think has really helped us to keep us on track is we have our monthly goals. We set monthly goals for every area of our life together, as well as we sit down most of the time. We are not perfect at this. So disclaimer, not perfect, but we like to set weekly goals as well. So those monthly goals influence what we're doing this week, and those weekly goals influence what we're doing today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? Mm-hmm. All throughout those days. And so when we sit down and we do our weekly planning, right? Missionaries. Oh, we're such missionaries.
I know. It's crazy how much teachings from serving a mission is literally tied into our every life.
I know. Preach my gospel, man. It's a great, great book for entrepreneurs.
Yes. And if you think about it, a business planning is quarterly. So yeah. Remember on our mission, we'd set 3-month goals.
I never did that.
What? You never set 3-month goals?
I set like transfer goals, which was a 6-week.
Oh, maybe that was just a my mission thing.
We were required. We set 3 months. We didn't even know if we'd be there.
We were required to set 3-month goals.
Oh.
Maybe my mission president kept us in areas longer. Anyways, going back to what you were saying, at the beginning of the month or end of the month previous, we like to set our goals. And Sailor and I are the kind of people, like when we go out on a date, we'll sit down and we just like talk about our goals. What are we going to be doing next? What's our big thing?
Well, our goals are our life. So it's
exactly.
It's not like
our last
we're talking date. About something so different.
Like, our last date that we went on, we set our monthly goals. Remember we went to the library?
Yeah, we did.
And we set our monthly goals.
Yep, we went out to eat and then went to the library afterwards without Emerald.
Yeah, those are my favorite dates.
Yeah, I like those. But I also like, to do something fun.
One time we went on a date and we went and painted little clay figures.
You painted an alligator and I painted a plate.
And you just ate lunch on that plate.
I just ate lunch on that plate, so I used it. Yeah, I like stuff I can use. I don't want it to be just some...
That's another huge thing.
What?
That's been really, really effective, which, again, disclaimer, we're not perfect, but we've been trying to go on one date a week.
Yeah, that hasn't worked out these past couple of weeks. We've been busy.
But yeah, so we set those goals Monthly, weekly, daily. Sailor always asks me every morning, text me your daily goal.
Yeah, I'm like, what's your daily goal? And he's like, I'm like, did you seriously just think of it right now? You're supposed to think about that in your daily planning. What are you doing?
To me, it's like, I set these daily goals, but it's also like, in a day, what's the difference between a daily goal and like a really big task you want to get done? You know, like a goal could be something you want to learn, but then how do you measure something you want to learn? You know what I'm saying?
By an outcome. I can describe XYZ after I do this.
Yeah, but that's the thing is what you're able to describe is also your perception.
No, I'm not listening to this. Anyway.
Anyways, what are some other ways, Sailor, our life has changed in the past 3 months? What are some things that have happened or things we've done that have changed kind of who we are?
Now that we have complete control of our time and where our money is going and when we do get income, I, at least for myself, I look at so many things that I'm doing in a day and wonder what the opportunity cost is, right, of that, right? So example, say for instance, I go get a drink. The opportunity cost there is not the only the money, but the extra 10, 15 minutes it takes out of my day that I could be doing something else, or I could be taking Emerald to the park or XYZ. Where in the past, like, I never worried about that. I mean, your income was really variable because you were on commission. So it's like, hey, the more, if I need to spend money, Ben will just make more money. He'll just get it done. That was kind of like my thought process for now. It's so much more real how much everything actually costs in life. How much a nice dinner costs.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I think the same way.
Because we don't have that right now. So we're building our product and it hasn't been launched yet. So we don't have any streams of income, I would say, necessarily coming in right now. And so there's no like guarantee of, hey, we're going to get a month. Ben's bringing in his salary, which is, I don't know, thousands of dollars a month. It's like, no, we just have our savings account
until we start making money ourselves.
Yeah, I feel freaking poor. Yeah. You know, it's like last weekend, we're going to go out to dinner and we're like, hey, let's go get some sushi. And you're like, sushi's so expensive. And I was like, it's only like $100. Oh my gosh, $100?
Yeah, spending $100 on sushi a year ago was way different than spending it now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we went out to eat every weekend.
I know, because we had that steady income we knew we could rely on. And we knew you could perform to reach that level. And now it's like...
It's really opportunity cost. Yeah, it's like, what could we have put that $100 towards? Like running ads. You know what I'm saying? In the future.
Yeah, I know. Now that I think, like, I think about that actually all the time. I could have spent $100 on Facebook ads. Are you kidding me? For this? It's just so weird how your mind changes. You just become more grateful for the times when you do have income. You know, you really sit back and you're really grateful for, I mean, at least for me, I never had to worry about money growing up. My dad provided more than enough for our family. And so I always knew that everything was going to be okay. So I never worried about things like that. And I'm sure it was a worry on his mind, though. And so to finally have that rest on my shoulders and be like, frick, like, we have to get something started up. This is all relies on us. It's makes you more grateful for the people that do provide. So it's made me more grateful for you and for my dad and anyone else that has helped me in the past.
Well, thanks, baby. I'm sure your dad would love to hear that, too. Something that what you said kind of sparked a thought in my mind was, I've talked about this before, how wealthy people and poor people think completely differently in so many ways. And one of the big examples of it is poor people are so focused on trying to save money. They're trying to save a penny, which the penny is still a penny and always be a penny. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, a penny is worth a lot less now than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you leave it in there, you're not going to go and grow anything. Nothing's going to happen. It's like, I saw this video the other day. It's like your money is a tool. And if you're trying to build a clubhouse or you're trying to build a treehouse, and you have all these tools sitting in your shop, brand new tools just sitting there, but you don't want to use them. You'd rather just use this old crappy tool that you have. Well, the whole point of getting those tools is so you can use them to build what you want to build. And poor people don't think about it that way.
Yeah. Money is not the outcome. It's just a tool to use to get to something higher, right?
It's not the outcome. It's not. And that's why so many poor people have this perception of money doesn't buy you happiness. Well, wealthy people know that. They just don't care to talk about that because it's just a dumb thing to mention. Like, obviously, it doesn't. They get that. And don't get me wrong, there's some wealthy people who are very, very greedy, right? But there's some poor people who are very, very greedy. Yeah. Whereas wealthy people understand that money is just a tool to get them what they want. And that's why they get the money to get to where they need to go. And for us specifically, our main focus every day isn't how do we save a penny? How do we bring this down? How do we bring this down? It's how do we make more money?
Yeah, well, we try to think like that. Sometimes I find myself being like, let's save our water bottles for 5 cents so that we can make sure we're not losing money there, right? And the time that it would take for us to collect all those water bottles, take them somewhere, which is not, it's not close to us at all. 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back, maybe 30 minutes there, putting your stuff in, so an hour and a half. Is that worth the amount of bottles you're going to bring? And is it worth seeing those bottles in your garage and it bothering you for a year before you take them there? That's something to think about, right? And sometimes I find myself contemplating that. I'm like, okay, I just got to either, I got to make a decision and I got to move on. I don't like either I'm saving these water bottles and I'm dedicated to it. I'm not going to think twice about it. Or I'm going to go put these things, or I'm just going to go recycle them instead and put them in a recycle bin and get rid of them every 2 weeks.
Yeah. And we don't have a refrigerator with a water dispenser. So we drink bottled water, Arrowhead bottled water. And we figured that Arrowhead is the cheapest. Because you can buy a pack of 30 for $7, which is nuts. Because a pack of 30 will last us like a week. I mean, it'd be cheaper, right, if we were on a refrigerator. But anyways, I think that's really funny to bring that up because with these stupid water bottles, I just been crushing them and throw them away. And so there's like, hey, we need to recycle. Put them in a bag and we can trade them for like 5 cents a piece. And I was like, 5 cents for this stupid thing? I was like, it cost me more money to throw it in the trash can than we're going to get out of it.
I know. I don't know why. It just like... That's one instance where I've had to be like, okay, I need to rewire my brain because it's just not worth it. We're still doing it.
But it's honestly a habit now. It's a habit now.
We've gotten to the point where we can't change it because it's, but I do hate those water bottles in our garage.
I know. Me too.
Freaking ugly.
Hey, I'm just waiting for you to take them to the freaking recycle bin.
Okay, I'll do it once and I'll see how much it's worth and then we can.
I think you have to count them individually. I think you have to take out one at a time.
No, they have a machine. I've done this before. They have a machine and it scans. It says that you have a water bottle and it goes.
Oh, okay.
So it'll count it itself. Anyway, we will take it to the trash people. I don't know what you call those people. One day, we'll see how much money we have. If it's not over $100, I'm not doing that again.
If it's not over $500, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah.
$100 isn't enough.
Okay. Well,
because you still gotta drive to the place. Anyways.
Tune in to the recycle story one day. That's funny. That's a funny story. But
yeah, but going back to what we were saying of how don't get so caught up in trying to save expenses. When you put time towards saving, it's time away from making. Saving isn't going to save you. It's like you're only making $5,000 a month.
Well, it depends. But there are some times, though, when saving is the right option. But you just have to be aware of does the amount of money that I'm saving by choosing option B actually worth it?
Yeah, you're right. 100%. Like example of this. Our Verizon account was underneath my name. And you wanted to switch it to your name so we could get a $25 off for being a student.
Yes.
And I thought it was so dumb.
No, a month.
I know. I don't think that's worth it. To save $25 to go through all the hassle we had to go through.
Okay, here's the thing. It's worth it if I can spend 1 hour on the call, switch it over, get it all exchanged for $25 a month. So 25, say we're staying with Verizon for, and I'm going to be a student, say for 2 years, right? So 25 times 24 is what?
It's over $1,000. It's like 1,600, okay. I think.
Oh no, it's 600.
That's it?
Yeah. So the question is an hour of my time worth $600?
Okay.
That's, do you see what I'm saying?
Did you know that in order to make $1 million in 5 years, all you have to do is make $547 a day?
There you go.
Not like literally $550 a day, you become a millionaire in 5 years. That's if you don't spend a dime of it. Right.
Yeah.
So technically speaking, is your time worth more than $600 an hour? I believe it is, but $600 an hour is a lot.
It's different for everyone and everyone can calculate that differently. But that's an example of is the time it would take for me to actually save this money, is it worth it? If it takes me a whole day's worth to be on the phone with Verizon, to call them, to have to go through these people when I could have been working. Getting other stuff done. Probably not, right? It's just all about what that cost is.
Yeah.
So we've had to do a lot of that. We've had to think.
We've thought hard about our expenses and just like what's going to be the most effective to cut and to keep.
And what's more effective, when it is more effective to spend. And that's what's been the hardest is we don't know everything and we're not perfect. We don't understand a lot. Like, we're still learning, we're still growing, and sometimes we make wrong decisions and we're like, dang it, like, we shouldn't have done that. We should have done this. But, right, mistakes make us grow, push us out of our comfort zone, and that's what we've been doing for the past 3 months, is we've been out of our comfort zone. But it's been really fun. I mean, I would say the hardest thing that, let me ask you this. Now that we talk about opportunity cost, I want to talk about us. What have you realized during these past 3 months about working with me?
I've come to realize that our relationship as partners is actually very, very valuable. And the reason why I know this is, like, Sailor specifically is she's very, very motivated and really, really, she's a lot better at managing her time than I am, I would say. And so that's something that she's helped me with a ton, is being able to help me manage my time. And your partner, Sailor, as my partner, if they're not influencing you to do better, then they're just holding you back. And as crappy as that is to say, if that is your spouse, you should probably figure something out, because that's going to be really, really hard to work that way. Whereas I am so lucky to have a spouse like Sailor who literally pushes me forward. So one thing I've learned is, like, everything I do, all my ideas I have, I always like to talk to you about them, because you think differently than I do. You can look at it at a different perspective, whereas I can only see it one way. And so I'm only going to do it that way. But if you say, hey, no, you can actually go that way and it'll be faster and you save time, then it's like, I'm going to ask you about everything from here on out.
Yeah. And I think one of the best parts about having your spouse as your partner in that way is there's no judgment when you do ask a question, or you're like, hey, can I talk to you about this? What do you think about this? I mean, where other times you might be like, I don't really want to talk to my partner about this because he might judge me for it. He might think it's stupid, or he never listens to me, or what, yada, 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 right? But with a partner, that's your spouse. You can bring up anything, and they're not going to judge you for it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
When you go home, end the day, right, at 5, we still have time at night where we talk to each other. And so we're talking about those things, and it's just been super helpful.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's a lot of people out there who think that, or who have experiences that would make them not want to work with family. And that's fine. For all you people who are on that page, if that works for you, that works for you.
Yeah.
Awesome. But from our experience for these past 3 months, I felt like this has been the most effective time of my life, because I am actually connected every day and in communication with every day my spouse, the one who supports my goals more than anyone else in the whole world. So she's able to keep me aligned with them and push me. Because if you're working with other people, they have their goals. You guys don't have one goal. I mean, you can have one goal of a certain point, but the reason why you have those goals is so you can then take your own goals and go with those. Whereas you and I, we actually do have one, and we will always have one. And so your goals are mine, and my goals are yours.
Yeah.
So it just, from our experience, going into business with each other has been the best decision of my life.
Yeah. But I will say this, what you were just saying, when you do disagree, it is hard, because they are your spouse. You do want to come to a decision together. And with maybe some other partners that you aren't married to, and you don't go to bed at night with them, you're okay to disagree on some things. And for someone to do it a certain way and end it there, right? I'm better at this, so I'm choosing this. And you could just say that and be done. But with your spouse, you always have to come to an agreement on, hey, we're doing this. And so for us, we've really had to learn how to make decisions together and how to get over disagreements and differing opinions really fast. Because it could hold you back. Where in other instances, it may not, because you just might be like, okay, whatever, you're better at that than I am, so I'm just going to leave you to it. And I don't have to think about it ever again. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, and obviously there's still levels where that is the case.
Yeah.
No, you know, sure. I'm not going to ask you about certain things. You're not going to ask me about certain things just because it doesn't really matter to you. It doesn't really matter to me. You know what I'm saying? And that's the same with business. Like, if two partners specialize in two different things, all they have to do is make sure that one thing that they're doing is going up. And if it is, they don't care what they're doing. They'll tell them, just keep doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain it to me. But if they have insights, obviously ask them questions. And I believe it's just, it works the same way with us. So if you're contemplating going into partnership with your spouse, we 100% recommend it. And if
I don't.
For certain people, I think there are certain people in this world that at a point in their lives, they cannot go into partnership with their spouse, a business partnership with their spouse, because of things that they or their spouse does that they're not willing to fix.
What I was saying was, if you're thinking about going into business with your spouse, if it's something you're contemplating, then I'd recommend doing it. Because the worst that can happen is it doesn't end up working out and you just go back to being husband and wife.
No, dude, the worst thing that could happen is you get divorced and you leave each other.
If that's the case, then...
then there's more problems to begin with. I totally agree. But I differ in that in order to go into... in order to have a business relationship with your spouse and to be a partner with them, you need to have worked on some things before you even start that. You need to be compatible with your spouse and learn how to get over disagreements and how to not take things personally. And yes, you may be able to not have that trait and go into it and learn, but that's gonna be a lot harder. So if you're thinking about going into business with your spouse, just be prepared to humble yourself, to figure out, you know, your weaknesses, and to recognize that when you're working with them, and know that you have those weaknesses and try to get better at them.
Yeah, no, and I actually totally agree with you. And it works out great for us because we have strengths and weaknesses that are differing.
Why don't you give me an example of something that we've had to work on?
I would say...
I had one.
Okay, go ahead. You go.
One that I have is we've had to learn how to communicate in a business way. How would you explain that? We've had to work on communicating, which is weird to say because, I mean, before this, like, we communicated really well. I mean, we still do, but there's a whole nother level that you are jumping into when you're going into business with your spouse. A whole nother level of asking them to get something done it's just a whole different level.
Yeah, like our communication has shifted from, you know, all this sailor being this, you know, lovey, I'll take care of you, I'll do anything you need, to wife, because that's what it was like before. I mean, I went to work at 6 a.m. I didn't come until 7. So when I saw you, it was all like, I'm going to take care of you. What can I do for you? Is there anything I can do to help? Right? Whereas now it's different, and that's okay. I don't necessarily say that you need to fix that. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our communication is different. It's to the point where we talk to each other as partners now. We hold each other accountable. Hey, what did you do today? Hey, what did you do today? Did you get this done? Did you get that done? How was the meeting with that person? And yes, and figuring out how to say it in a way where you don't take it personal.
Yeah, and I mean, and even sometimes like Benj will be like, hey, can you do this? Or I'll say that to him, Benj, can you make sure you get this done? And he'll do it and I'd be like, did you not listen to anything I just said? Like, I asked you to do this. And he's like, no, from what you said and the way you said it, I thought you meant get this done or to do it this way. And for me, I'm like, how did you get that out of what I said? But that's the point where I'm talking about that different level of just using, I don't even know what the right word is, using a different language almost to communicate to you. And we've never worked with each other on that level. And so now that we are, I'm realizing, okay, that there's a certain way I need to speak to Benj. There's certain things I need to clarify, and there's certain things where I don't need to clarify anything. He'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this.
I would say I perceive things differently than what you're communicating, which is really odd, and I don't know why, but it's because of the way we think.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't think of an experience of that happening to you, where you perceive something different than I said. And I'm not blaming that on you. I'm saying that I'm on your understanding is smarter than mine. Because you'll say things and I'll like, for some reason, I'll get something out of it completely different than what you said because I thought that's what you were meaning.
No, that also could mean I'm just a poor communicator as well. There's two different sides of the coin. Maybe. If, for instance, you're having problems with communicating with your spouse, know this. Both of you are the problem. One of you is not just a problem because A, you are communicating wrong, and B, maybe they're not listening, right? There's always two sides of the coin. So never just, always blame your spouse. You always have to be constantly looking at yourself and being like, okay, what could I have done in that situation? Because if you don't, things pile up a lot quicker when you're in business with your spouse. You're around them a lot more. There are more problems that need to be solved.
More decisions made.
More decisions made. And if you don't know how to do that, it's going to get rough for a little bit.
I agree with you on that 100%. It is really, really important to understand that in a relationship, if you're not willing to take responsibility for, you know, all the faults of everything, then it's going to be really, really hard. Like when a lot of times we'll have discussions, we'll have disagreements, and sometimes it'll turn into an argument, you know, but at the end of the day, something that I would say we're really good at is we will then, once we come to some sort of agreement, we'll then take responsibility for our failure of what we did wrong. And we'll even try to take responsibility of the other person's failure, like as a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Because I just think it's a really, really huge thing to be able to understand that, one, if your spouse starts arguing with you about something that you're doing, like, for example, I would say for me, it's Sailor is very, I'm OCD when it comes to things, but Sailor is very organized when she comes to things. Like, it's different. Like, if I see something on the ground, if it looks good there, I'm okay with leaving it there.
Yeah.
But my OCD is like, I like to make sure that when my notebook is on my desk, it is not tilted or crooked. It has to be straight, in line, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care about that. I want it to look neat, but when I'm doing stuff, it doesn't need to look neat.
Yep. I don't care about colors. I don't care about any of that. I don't know how to match an outfit.
I care about long-term placement. You care about short-term placement.
So when she asks me to do things and I'm doing something and she gets frustrated at me for doing it not to her level, even then we're able to take a step back and be like, hey, baby, you know what? That's my fault. I should have listened to you. And even if it's not your fault, still take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, I should have learned in my childhood to do this better. It is my fault. Because what that does is, one, it opens up the conversation to where your spouse then sees, okay, yes, I really love this person because they really want to help. And they're not prideful about what they do. And even if they know it's out of their control, they're still willing to just accept their failures, which is huge, because in a relationship, if you can't accept that you are the problem, then it just won't last.
Yeah, it won't work. And that's why I say if you or your spouse, and you're more likely to point that out in your spouse than yourself, but if you do point that out in one another, and one of the parties involved, it's not going to work. So something has to change, and it can change, but it's going to take some effort. It's not an easy thing to look inside yourself, to be constantly aware of where you're at with this weakness or with the strength and where you're going.
And just remember that you can't expect your spouse to change unless you change. You have to be the one who wants to change first. You can't be like, hey, you're doing this wrong, I want you to change, and because of that, I'll change too. You have to be like, hey, I'm going to change this because of this. And if you say that to your spouse, most of the time they'll say, you know what, I'm going to try to change this, because it's respect. They're respecting that you're trying to change, and it makes them feel, okay, you know what, he's doing something good. What can I do now? At least that's how I felt.
Yeah, honestly, and I guess to kind of wrap this all up, these past 3 months have gone by so fast, like insanely fast, where I'm like, holy crap, it's April. Like, how is it April? Like, I cannot believe it. But it's because we're having so much fun, which is kind of silly to say that we're like, we're having so much fun, business partners, but we are. We're really enjoying this.
And
there's so much to learn that every day, there's not a day that goes by where we're like, what do we do today? Or there's not a day where on a Saturday where we're like, should we be working right now or should we go do this? There's not a day where like there's something to be contemplated. There always is something.
There's always something to be done.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it keeps us busy.
Yeah.
When you stay busy, that's when you grow the most, because you don't have time to sit down and actually contemplate and think and look back and be like, oh, did we actually get this much done? Or how effective are we being? But yeah, Sailor and I really, really love working together, and we're excited to get this product launched to show all you guys. We've loved doing this podcast. I've really, really enjoyed it because I've been able to just spend so much more time with Sailor. It's been fun.
And what's cool about it is, yeah, we're posting these things. We're getting these out there for our audience to enjoy it and for our audience to learn from it. But we're also like just having a business meeting right now. It's basically what we did for the past, 30 minutes is we've looked into our relationship and we've assessed where we're at And even in my mind, I'm like, frick, I need to work on these things. I'm not going to tell that to you guys. I'm going to tell you what my weaknesses are, what Ben's weaknesses specifically are, and what we need to do to get better. But there are things that I've learned through this podcast of like, hey, I need to be doing a better job of this. Yeah. And it's been good to reflect on that.
And I went to Grant Cardone's Growth Con last week.
Yeah, you were gone. That was the first week you were gone since.
I don't think it was. No, you were gone for a week. You left for a weekend, remember? You were gone for like five days.
Anyway, this is the first full week, though, that you've been gone. That you, as the main provider of family, has been gone.
So anyways, while I was there, Arnold Schwarzenegger talked.
Yeah.
And he said, "You every single morning, you need to look in the mirror and you need to say, let's be victorious today. Let's learn something. Every day, you should be thinking about what you can do to get better. And if all you do is get better, just a little bit at a time, day by day by day by day, after a few years of just getting better, you will be so good at whatever you're trying to get better at. It'll be insane. And the results will follow. You know, if you are honest in business, if you are doing things the right way, you will grow a successful business because you're doing the right things. And not only will you have happy customers, but God will be happy for you because of your success. Because you're providing a really good service, a really good product for the world. You are in this podcast talking about, I learned of what I need to be doing and better in this podcast. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you better have figured out something of what you're going to do to change.
Yeah.
How can you be better today? How can you grow 1% today from this podcast?
If you're not in business with your spouse, there are still things that you can do today from this podcast or things that you can take out to be like, how can I be better as a husband today? How can I be better as a wife today? Get 1% better at that today. Choose to do that. Choose to acknowledge or try to find something in yourself today that you need to work on. Find a fault in yourself and go work on it. We're thankful for you guys for tuning in this podcast and listening to us talk about, you know, our 3-month journey so far. Our last quarter. It's been great. If you have any questions about what would we do if we were in this situation, or hey, I have a question about this, shoot us a message on Instagram or on YouTube and we'll respond, and we may include you on our next podcast. So
yeah, we'd love for anyone to be on here.
All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. The Benj and Sailor show is over. Cut.